Our story today from the scriptures is a story of two people we know by name, whose lives were dramatically altered by Jesus. Now, they thought they were both on the right road. Both of them were convinced they were doing exactly what God needed them to do. They had plans, they knew their direction, and then Jesus said to them, "Please take my hand, I want to guide you on another path. Where you thought you were going is not where I'm asking you to go. There is something better." And here's the reality. This is not just a story of something that happened 2,000 years ago. This is a story for all of us today. Because all of us are kind of like these two named people in this story. All of us may think we're headed in one direction, but from time to time, Jesus reaches out Jesus' hand and says, "Let me guide you to another path, because there's something even better, something better than you could possibly imagine if you but follow me and listen to where I'm guiding you." So let's talk about these two guys in this story. We'll start with this man, Saul. Saul is one of the most important people in the history of the world. There was a book I bought when I was in college, and it was called The 100 Most Influential People in Human History. And in the book, it argued that Saul was number 6. And some people say he's number 2, actually. Because Saul is the person who God used to share the good news of Jesus Christ, not just within one community, but to break out beyond the boundaries and to share Jesus Christ with people all over the then known world. But Saul didn't start out that way. Saul made a dramatic change in his life, so dramatic that he wasn't called Saul anymore. He became the Apostle Paul. So what do we know about this guy? Well, as important as he is, there's a lot we don't know. But we know a few things. He was born in a city called Tarsus. Tarsus was a pretty big city for the ancient world, maybe around 100,000 people, which at that time was a very significant size for a city. Tarsus was located in what's now southeastern Turkey. It was a fairly wealthy place. It was a place known for its schools and for the teachers and for the philosophers that lived there. And Saul's family was pretty well-to-do. They were a Jewish family. They lived in Tarsus, and they apparently manufactured and sold tents, probably made of leather, though some people debate that, and we don't need to really get into all of that. But it was a good living, and they made a good amount of money, and so they were able to provide for young Saul the very best education that money could buy for a Jewish boy in the Roman world. They were able to send Saul to the teachers in their local community, and so probably for about a dozen years in and around Tarsus, Saul learned Hebrew, and Saul learned Greek, and Saul learned the Hebrew scriptures. And Saul probably also learned some of the basics of rhetoric. And Saul might have even picked up some of the philosophical conversations that were going on in his community. And Saul must have shown promise, because his family did not just send him to school locally and then put him to work in the family business. They said, "No, we believe God has gifted you for something even greater." And so they sent him a few hundred miles away to the city of Jerusalem to study with the teachers in Jerusalem, the foremost Jewish scholars in the Roman Empire, with the hopes that he could learn even more and maybe someday even become part of the Jewish religious council at the temple in Jerusalem. And apparently Saul excelled. He was zealous. He loved God, and he very much wanted to do what God was calling him to do. And Saul became convinced that there was a certain school of thought in ancient Judaism that had figured out exactly what God wanted to do. Now, we should remember there were a lot of different schools of thought in ancient Judaism and in modern Judaism, and just like there's a lot of different understandings in Christianity and any other religion. But Saul believed that a very strict interpretation of the 617 commandments that are laid out in the Old Testament was what he needed to do. He championed the idea that there needed to be a strict interpretation of these commandments, and that is what he spoke up for, that is what he believed, that is what he wanted to fight for. And then he came in contact with these people who followed some guy named Jesus from a little nowheresville called Nazareth. The first followers of Jesus Christ, they weren't even called Christians at this point. They were called followers of the way, as it's put in the book of Acts. They did not hold with the same school of thought that Paul or that Saul did. They believed that through Jesus, the Son of God had come into the world, and that through the death and the resurrection of Jesus, God had demonstrated that the power of sin over human beings was broken, and that God desired a relationship with all people, and that it wasn't about what you ate, and it wasn't about making sure that your clothes were only made of one kind of fiber and that you never wove two kinds of fiber together and a lot of the other rules that were considered so important. Rather, there were two things that were primary. Love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And maybe a little bit surprisingly, these Christians kept saying that your neighbor was everybody. It wasn't honestly just the person that lived next door. It was everyone you would meet, even people from enemy countries and enemy peoples. Well, Saul realized something real quick. If the Christians were in any way, shape, or form right, it meant he was wrong. And he couldn't stand that. Now, I don't want to make it sound like he was just doing this for his own ego. I believe sincerely that Saul thought the Christians were a threat and that they were going to lead people astray from the proper way to worship God. But Saul made it his mission to stamp them out by any means necessary. Saul didn't mind arresting people. Saul didn't mind throwing people in jail. Saul held the coats while a lynch mob stoned, dropped big heavy rocks on a man until he died named Stephen, who had been preaching that Jesus was the Christ, the anointed one that God had sent to teach people. Saul was willing to kill people if it would stamp out these ideas of Christianity. And he learned that there had been that the Christians had started to expand beyond just the city of Jerusalem. And so he went to the high priest. Now, I'm not entirely sure how the legal code worked, and most of it probably doesn't survive, but apparently within the Roman Empire, the high priest and the Jerusalem religious council had some religious and legal authority over all the Jews in the Roman Empire. And at this time, it was understood that only people who were Jewish were following Jesus. So Saul went to the high priest and got letters that would allow him to go to the city of Damascus in what's now Syria and arrest the Jews in the synagogues there who were proclaiming that Jesus was the Christ and haul them back to Jerusalem so that they could either recant their views or be punished. Saul was zealous. He was going to wipe out the Christians, not just in Jerusalem, but wipe them off the face of the earth. And so with some companions, he headed to Damascus, maybe about 150, 200 miles away from Jerusalem. Now, as he neared the city, there was suddenly a bright light, a searing light. And in the midst of that light, Saul heard a voice. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul literally fell down because of the brightness of the light. And his companions, though they did not see the light, heard the voice. And Saul suddenly realized that everything he thought God wanted him to do was not, in fact, the direction that God intended his life to go. And so, for whatever reason, struck blind by this light, Saul was led into the city of Damascus by his companions. And for 3 days he did not eat, and for 3 days he prayed, probably seeking in his prayers to figure out where he'd gone wrong and what God was really asking him to do. So that's one of the two people in this story who we know by name. The other person we know by name is a man named Ananias. We know a lot less about Ananias than we do with Saul. In fact, we really only know three things about Ananias. He followed Jesus, he lived in Damascus, and he'd heard that Saul was bad news. Ananias, while Saul was praying, had a vision from Jesus. And in this vision, Jesus said, "I need you to go to Saul. I need you to go to Saul. He's in a house on a street called Straight. So basically Straight Street. I need you to go there and find this man and heal him, because he is going to share the good news of Jesus with a lot of the world. And Ananias said, are you sure about that, Lord? Now, we might think to ourselves, oh my gosh, how could you have a vision from Jesus Christ and not immediately say, well, yes, sir. Well, Ananias is one of many in a long tradition of people throughout the scriptures who have a vision from God, and they're saying, is this really what you want me to do? And thanks be to God that when people ask that question, or when people aren't certain, or when people are scared, because I'm guessing Ananias was a little scared. I would not want to go and seek out the guy who had come to the city to possibly arrest me and haul me off in chains. But whatever it was, Jesus didn't give up on Ananias, and Ananias was convinced that this was truly a vision from God and that he needed to go to Saul. And so he went to where Saul was. He laid hands on Saul, and the scales fell from Saul's eyes. And Saul could see again. And Saul could see the beginnings of what would be his future. The next 20 to 30 years of his life would be dedicated to sharing the message of Jesus Christ with people all over the then known world. At great personal cost, Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul, would be the spiritual ancestor for Christians all over the world. Now, I admit, I have never known anyone who had quite the 180-degree turnaround that Saul did. There are people in this world that still do. I've not ever known anyone personally. But that story of Ananias, you know, Ananias, he's a faithful follower of Jesus. He's decided he wants to follow Jesus, and then Jesus asks him to do something that seems crazy. I think that's a story, that's an example I can identify with, because that is something that happens all the time. Whether it's that first decision to follow Christ that we are being asked to make, or maybe we've been following Christ and Jesus says, I want to guide you on a new road. I want to show you something new. Take my hand, trust me. I know it looks like there's a big crack in the road in front of you. I'm going to help you get over that, and we're going to go down that road, and we're going to go up this mountain, and when you get to the top, you won't believe how beautiful the things are that you're going to see. But we have to have the faith to trust Jesus, to take Jesus' hand, to follow Jesus down a road that we might not have expected to go on. And that is true for the people in the scriptures, and that is true for us today. And I've known a lot of people who've taken Jesus' hand and gone down a road they didn't expect to go. I knew a man who thought that he was going to be a musician and a music teacher. And then he somehow or other found himself involved in the civil rights movement, and within a couple years after that, he found himself in seminary preparing to spend his life as a pastor. I knew a guy who grew up in some tough neighborhoods in the St. Louis area. A guy who many people would have been afraid of, but who became a powerful preacher and a powerful Christian leader, and who guided and helped his community and helped many other communities as well. I knew a young woman who was working abroad, and one day as she walked past a schoolyard and saw two boys fighting, she realized how important it was that more people would hear the love of that Jesus Christ preached. And she decided to give her life to Christ and become a pastor. I knew a husband and wife who were alcoholics, who were headed on a bad road, but who found, through faith in Christ, through the church, and through Alcoholics Anonymous, the strength that they needed to turn their lives around. They became important leaders in their small town church and dynamic workers with youth, able to truly say if someone asked them, what difference does it make if you decide to follow Jesus? And I bet if we went around, some of us have stories to share, either from our own lives or others we know. Jesus is still changing lives today. Even if your life's already been changed once by Jesus, it's not done. Your life continues to be changed by Jesus. That moment when you first see Jesus that Paul had, that was not the end of Paul's story. Jesus kept working on his heart for however many more years he lived on this earth following that Damascus Road experience. Jesus is asking us to turn to Jesus, to go on new ways, to grow closer to God, and through growing closer to God and following Jesus, to offer blessings of all sorts to the people that we meet. The question is simple. Will we take Jesus' hand and go where Jesus is guiding us to go? We may be like Ananias. We may be scared. We may be like Saul and completely shocked. But are we willing to trust Jesus and go where Jesus guides us and be part of not just the transformation of our lives, but the transformation of all existence that God is bringing about through the name of Jesus Christ our Lord? When Jesus reaches out the hand, may we take it and follow Jesus. May it be so for you and for me. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.